नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम सेवेंथ कैंटो नाइन्थ चैप्टर। प्रह्लाद पेसिफाइज द लॉर्ड विथ प्रेयर्स। So I'll just read through the verse and the translation, but on your own, maybe at your convenience, you can go through the verses and try to memorize them. Okay, thank you. Manne dhanabhijanarupa tapasrutaujas teja prabhava valapaurusha buddhijoga नाराधनाय हि भवन्ति परस्य पुंशो भक्ता तुतोष भगवान गजजूथपाय। प्रह्लाद महाराज कंटिन्यूड, वन मे पोसेस वेल्थ एंड एरिस्टोक्रेटिक फैमिली, ब्यूटी, ऑस्टेरिटी, एजुकेशन, सेंसरी एक्सपर्टीज, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, and mystic yogic power. But I think that even by all these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied with him. Please repeat after me. Maharaj Prahlad continued. One may possess wealth and aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, and mystic yogic power. But I think that even by all these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied with him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. No kind of material qualification is the means for satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, only by devotional service can the Lord be known. Bhakta mam abhijanati. Unless the Lord is pleased by the service of a devotee, the Lord does not reveal himself. Nahang prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samabritaha. This is the verdict of all shastras. Neither by speculation nor by material qualification can one understand or approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Prahlad Maharaj is praying, offering his prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Nrisimhadev. We started from yesterday the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. Nrisimhadev, after killing Hiranyakashipu, was extremely angry. He was so angry that even after killing Nrisimhadev, his anger didn't subside. And everybody was afraid. The demigods who were present there, all were extremely afraid. No one could approach him. He was so angry. Brahma couldn't approach him. Demigods requested Lakshmi Devi. to approach and pacify the Lord. Even Lakshmi Devi didn't dare. She was afraid. Like, we can understand when the husband is angry, sometimes wife is afraid to go near him. So although Nrisimha Devi is her husband, but Lakshmi Devi couldn't approach. Then Brahma told Prahlad Maharaj to go to the Lord and pacify him. Prahlad Maharaj just went. He was not afraid. He knew the Lord is all merciful. And although he killed his father, still Prahlad Maharaj was not afraid of him. He approached him and he started to offer his prayers. Sita, how are you? Happy to see you. So, Prahlad Maharaj just went and the Lord placed his hand on Prahlad's head. And just by the touch of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj became free from all his material contaminations, all his material attachments. And he was situated in the transcendental position. And there he started to offer prayers to the Lord. And we can see there are almost about 35 prayers, 35 verses describing the glory of the Lord. And in a way we can see Prahlad Maharaj is just a little boy, 5-year-old. So how can a 5-year-old boy offer such prayers? Similarly, Dhruva Maharaj was 6 years old. The Lord touched him on his forehead with his conch shell. Dhruva Maharaj was kind of dumbfounded how to glorify the Lord. But as soon as the Lord touched he saw the Lord and he was feeling ecstasy, but he didn't know how to glorify the Lord. Just a little boy. But when the Lord touched him with the conch shell, he also became transcendentally situated. That transcendentally situated means the spirit soul is situated in its constitutional spiritual position. At that time, his identity had nothing to do with the body. The body may be 5-year-old or 6-year-old, but the soul was completely free from bodily designation. That is the meaning of by being touched by the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj became transcendentally situated. That means he was no more in his bodily identity. He was no more affected by his bodily situation, body's identity. He was situated in a pure spiritual platform as an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we will see these prayers are so beautiful. Even Dhruva Maharaj's prayer, all these prayers, when they are offered with perfect spiritual realization, they are the most beautiful glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are the most beautiful descriptions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they are the most wonderful understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another such prayer is the prayers of Lord Brahma in Brahma Samhita. What a beautiful prayer. And here also we are seeing Prahlad Maharaj is offering his prayers. Yesterday's verse described Prahlad Maharaj is feeling so humble. He is admitting, I'm just a demon. I'm a demon, born in a demon family. What qualification do I have to even come near you? But it's out of your causeless mercy that I am able to receive your mercy. And now, in this verse, he is saying that none of these qualifications are necessary to become a devotee of the Lord. In order to become a devotee of the Lord, we do not have to possess wealth. We don't have to be born in an aristocratic family. We do not have to have beauty. We don't have to be beautiful. We don't have to be austere. We don't have to be educated. We don't have to be expert in sensory activities. We don't have to have bodily luster. We don't have to have influence. We don't have to have physical strength. We don't have to be diligent. We don't have to be intelligent. And we don't have to have mystic yogic power. We don't need any of these things. All we need is devotion to the Lord. And devotion to the Lord means, how does the devotion to the Lord begin? Devotion to the Lord begins with surrender. So what is needed, actually what is needed is surrender to Krishna. And that surrender will take care of the rest. That surrender will lead us to devotion. Actually, the surrender is because of devotion. And the surrender will also lead us further on the path of devotion. So this is such a wonderful reassurance. A devotee does not need any qualification. We don't have to have any qualification at all. We don't have to be rich, we don't have to be wealthy, we don't have to be famous, we don't have to be handsome, we don't have to be educated, we don't have to be austere, we don't have to be any of these things. All we have to be is just a surrendered soul to the Lord. Why? We can consider, like, does the child need to have any qualification to attract the love and affection of the parents? Does the child have to be very beautiful to attract the affection of his mother? Does the child have to be exceptionally qualified? Does the child have to be famous or rich or educated? No. His only qualification is that he is the child of his mother. And just because of that, the mother's love, mother's affection just naturally flows. Similarly, who is Krishna? Krishna is our Supreme Father. We are his children. So Krishna doesn't care for our qualifications as such. He doesn't. To him, all these qualifications are of no importance or no consequence. His only consideration is that you are my child. So come back to me. So surrender means going back to him. Now we have gone away from him. That is our problem. We have gone away from him. That's why we are suffering. That's why we have become isolated. That's why we are in such a miserable condition. But if we just accept the Father will immediately take us back. The Son doesn't need any qualification. Or rather we find, yes, there are two considerations here also. Like, one consideration is, yes, the parents are proud. Parents feel good if the children are doing good. If the child is rich, if the child is handsome, if the child is educated, yes, the parents do feel some sort of pride for the child, for the sake of the child, or because of the child. But on the other hand also we can see that if the child doesn't have any qualification, on the other hand, if the child is crippled or handicapped, then the parents' love for the child becomes even more intense. the father and mother take care of the child who is incapable. Like we see sometimes, like say a father has three children. One is very qualified, very capable, very handsome, very rich, is endowed with all good qualities. And there is another child who is crippled, who is retarded. Now, for whom does the father become, to whom the father bestow more, father and mother bestow more care? The competent, capable one or the crippled one? The affection for the parents are more for the one who is incapable and crippled. Similarly, Krishna, when we consider that Krishna is our father, then we can be rest assured, about one thing, that if we are unable, if we are incapable, if we are retarded, if we are useless, then His mercy will be more prominent or more effectively displayed and showered upon us. And that is actually our situation in this age of Kali. In the age of Kali, what is our situation? We are totally unqualified. We are totally degraded. We are totally hopeless. And that's why Krishna's mercy has come down to us. So this is a qualification actually. To be hopeless is a qualification in this age. Our qualification is we are hopeless. And that's why Krishna's mercy has come down. That's why Narottam Das Thakur is singing that you have come to deliver the fallen souls and you will never find anyone as fallen as I am. Therefore, I am the most qualified candidate for your mercy. That's why I am the most qualified candidate for your mercy, because I am absolutely hopeless. And that is a fact. That is a fact. Like Krishna's mercy becomes most wonderfully manifest for those who are completely unqualified. That is the qualification. If you have, just sit here and do it. So that is that's what we have to actually understand. That Krishna is not only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but He is our Father, He is our friend, He is our well-wisher, and He loves us. He loves us. In loving relationship, is there any consideration for qualification? When the love is there, then what is needed is just the reciprocation. Say, one person has fallen in love with another person. A has fallen in love with B. Then does B have to develop some qualification to fall in love with A? No. Love is already, A already loves B. So all B have to do is just reciprocate that love. All B has to do is that to say, I love you, A. And then the love affair will become complete. So that is the case with us. Krishna loves us, but we are not loving Him. We are not reciprocating. We are not responding to His love. So Krishna doesn't, in order to develop our love for Krishna, we don't have to do anything. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to become somebody to receive Krishna's love. Krishna already loves us. Now, what we have to do is simply reciprocate that love of Krishna. Krishna loves us because of what we are. We may be crippled, we may be useless, we may be a criminal, we may be hopeless, we may be whatever we may be. Krishna loves us the way we are. And all from our part, all we have to do is just reciprocate that love, respond to that love. And when we do that, then Krishna becomes happy and our love becomes complete. Like if we consider love, the expression of love is an embrace. So when we reciprocate our love to Krishna, then Krishna comes and embraces us. That means Krishna makes us His. Now we are separated from Krishna, and as a result of that we are suffering. If we just surrender, then we'll become Krishna's. Immediately Krishna will accept us. And that is the perfection of our life. And this love is devotion. This love for Krishna is called devotion. Love may be an undefined expression. In many cases, we don't really know what love is. And especially in material nature, we don't know what love is. In material nature, what people think is love is actually lust. There is no love in material nature. All relationships are ultimately based on lust. Lust means desire for one's sense gratification. The real love, the only love actually, is love for Krishna. And we do not know what that love actually is like. But when we surrender ourselves to Krishna, then we begin to get the taste of that love. The first thing that happens with the surrender is appreciation. Because we begin to see how wonderful Krishna is. When we surrender, then we don't really consider the beauty and other things of Krishna. When we surrender, then we begin to see what Krishna is doing for us. Like in case of Prahlad Maharaj, time and time again he saw that how Krishna is protecting him. The demons came, the asuras came, the daityas, the soldiers of Hiranyakashipu, to cut him, to chop his head off. Their weapons didn't work. They, with all these powerful weapons, they couldn't do anything to Prahlad. They throw him in the pit of venomous snakes. Nothing happened. They threw him in the fire. Nothing happened. They threw him from top of a mountain. Nothing happened. They put him in the water, buried him with boulders and mountain peaks. Nothing happened. Nothing happened means Prahlad Maharaj was seeing how Krishna is actually protecting him. Krishna is protected. They threw him from top of a mountain. Krishna just held him and softly just placed him on the ground. They put him in a blazing fire, not only a blazing mountainous fire, but the flames of the fire to Prahlad Maharaj appeared to be like the soothing touch of the lotus petals. They were not fiery, burning sensation. What they gave him is a sensation of a soothing touch, cooling touch, as if those flames were the petals of lotus. So this is how Prahlad had always been protected by the Lord, and that's why Prahlad Maharaj saw how the Lord is taking care of him. And that is the foundation or basis of appreciation for the Lord. You are doing so much. And that's why at the initial stage of devotion, what happens is we begin to see what Krishna is doing for us. And that's why we offer prayers like Krishna Varo Dayamoy, Koribare Jiu Bhajai, Shaprasad Anna Dilabhai. Like the food. It's so delicious, so important for, and so mercifully, it has been provided by Krishna. So when you are taking the food, we can appreciate Krishna's mercy. The more our devotion will increase, the more we will appreciate Krishna's mercy. Like, this is how we can appreciate Krishna's mercy, while we are eating our food, while we are drinking water. Just imagine, when you are thirsty, I mean, we don't actually understand the importance of these things in our lives. We just take it for granted. We take the bottle of water, I mean, a glass of water, and just drink it. Without really understanding the importance of that. But consider, you are in the middle of a desert. You didn't get any water for two days, and there's burning, scorching sun. You are so exhausted and you are so worn out that you can't even move. You are just lying in the middle of a desert and the scorching sun, your throat is parched. For 2 days you didn't have any water in that situation. Then somebody comes and gives you a glass of water. Can you imagine how it will taste like? So this is what we have to learn, and this is how we have to learn to appreciate Krishna's mercy. We are taking the breath, we don't realize how wonderful it is. This we can practice very easily. Close your nose and mouth. Just keep it like that for 1 minute, 1.5 minutes. 2 minutes, what is going to be your situation? And then your hands and your nose and mouth are released. Take the breath. How it will feel? Can you imagine? Now in this way, with every breath, we can actually appreciate Krishna's mercy. We don't have to go very far to appreciate Krishna's mercy. In this way we can see His mercy. And when we do that, then we become devotees. Devotion means to appreciate Krishna's mercy. And when you recognize He is doing so much for you, then what will be your natural reaction? Won't you consider, what can I do for Him? What can I do for Him? And at least I can appreciate Him, I can surrender myself to Him. And pray to Him, my Lord, please, please allow me to become your servant. You are doing so much for me. Let me do something at least for you. You are serving me, an insignificant creature. And I feel so ashamed that you are rendering the service to me. Now let me serve you, because you are my master. I am not your master. You are my master. So let me serve you. And that is the natural development of devotion. When we recognize who Krishna is and what He is doing for us. And that is why it's so important to hear about Krishna. Hear about Krishna means hear about this. Hear about Krishna means understand how much Krishna is doing for us, what Krishna is doing for us. And who Krishna is, how wonderful He is. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Mother Krishna Priya. Yeah, like actually as we are, well, I mean, I'll repeat the question also because those who can hear, that Mother Krishna Priya is asking that it seems that the quality of our surrender, quality of our devotion actually develops at different points. Like, you wanted me to elaborate on that. Yes, it develops according to the development of our devotion. When you're a neophyte devotee, we don't really know. We don't really know how to appreciate Krishna. But we have been told, chant Hare Krishna, follow the four regulative principles, do this, don't do that, and so forth. So we do that. We are developing the Vaidhi Bhakti. We are practicing Vaidhi Bhakti. But while we are practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, and as we are developing our devotion to Krishna, then these realizations and this attitude will develop. The realizations will come. And this is not, mind you, this is not an intellectual thing. These realizations are just a matter of revelations from within. Like, don't you see that we read Bhagavad Gita so many times? Same purport, same verse. We read at different times, we get different awareness. And that will always happen. Like, according to our inner realizations, the spiritual reality will be revealed. As we develop internally through our devotion, accordingly the spiritual reality will become manifest. Today we may think that, oh, it's such a wonderful realization. But tomorrow we'll find even more wonderful realizations are being revealed to us. So ultimately it's a matter of our internal development. And internal development means internal purification. The more we become purified, the more we'll be able to perceive Krishna. In an impure state, we are not able to perceive Krishna. But by practicing devotional service, as we become purified, accordingly we'll be able to perceive Krishna. And accordingly we'll be able to appreciate Krishna. And accordingly we'll be able to develop our love for Krishna. Hare Krishna.
You know that King Khatavanga, he surrendered to Krishna within a second. Can you please explain, I mean, how can someone surrender to Krishna so quickly and get the result?
Is it that? What? Tell me the background. King Khatanga, not Attanga, it's Khatanga. Yeah. What happened with him?
I will be wrong too much.
King Khatanga fought for the demigods. So he fought for the demigods, and the demigods were so pleased with him. He fought for the demigods against the demons. The demigods were so pleased with him, they said that you can ask for any boon. Tell us what you want. We'll fulfill your desire. So he asked, how much time do I have? How much time? That means, when I'm going to die? And they said, in such and such time you're going to die. He just fixed his mind on Krishna and left his body. Okay. So it's not that he receive the realization just like that. And besides, the demigods cannot give Krishna consciousness. It is one who has to be Krishna conscious by practicing the process, by the mercy of a devotee. Okay? Any other question? Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Sita, I'm so happy to see you. The other day I was wondering where you are.
Well, I've been chasing you around, but I keep missing you.
No, I saw your daughter in the temple and I was wondering when your daughter is there, Sita cannot be far away.
Now that I know where you are.